Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway Life Church. We're so glad you've joined us and trust that this podcast will be a blessing to you.
Yeah, come on. I love that. I can tell that you are expectant, you are excited, you are believing for greater things. Amen. And it's a really great thing because, you know, Jesus said, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for God's ways, for righteousness, because he said they will be filled. And so it's a great thing to be hungry for the things of God. You know, last Sunday we launched our series entitled Unlimited. And I felt that one of the things that God wanted to give us a perspective of is just the unlimited power of God through creation. And so if you were here last week, you would have seen that I put a number of different pictures on the screen. We looked at, one photo, which I think we've got on the screen right now, of, say, 400 plus billion galaxies. And if you take a look at the screen right there, you can see us in the midst of a number of other galaxies. And let's go to the next slide. And just in case you don't know, we are, our neighborhood in space is called the Milky Way. And there we are right there. There's the planet Earth right there. It's just there somewhere. If you can't quite see that, then let's go to the next slide. And there you are. That little pixel dot on that large screen is where you and I live, and that's called planet Earth. And if for some reason a problem or some test or trial or temptation is just, you know, concerning you right now, I trust that that little picture will give you some perspective that it perhaps is not as big as we sometimes make it out to be. Don't you think that's amazing? How does that just hang there? There we are, we're like a dot in space, but God has commanded that us as a planet be set on its own orbit, on its own pathway. God commanded it, and the earth said yes. And this is what amazes me, you see. And this is one of the reasons why I've got Adrian on the platform right now, and I'll talk about that in a moment. How are you feeling right now?
Awesome.
I love that. And don't you think it's amazing? You know, there's a scripture in the Old Testament that says, God, what is man that you are so mindful of him? Like, it just blows me away. And yet God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, that whoever would believe in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, would not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's an opportunity that I'm going to give someone at the end of our service today. If you know that you're not right with God and you need to be, we're going to give you that opportunity to come back to your maker, to your creator, and be reconciled back to him, both here and those listening to this message online. Don't you think it's amazing? Hey, the good news is, if you're in the world, and you are, then you're included in God's love. It says, whoever, by definition of Wikipedia, is whoever. It doesn't matter where you've been. What matters is where we're going. And so on June 4 this year, this great young man messaged Gateway Life Church and shared a few things in that message. But then at the end of his message, he asks, so I'm wondering, he said, what can the church offer somebody like me? He said that he's a non-churched person and had been thinking about church. And that was on June 4, and we began to exchange some messages. And then one phone call later, we met up on the Queen's birthday, Monday, June 10. And we caught up and we had a great time. And then you came to the man, right? Yeah, our Wednesday night men's ministry. At the end of that night, he comes over to me and he says, ha ha, Pastor Jason, what time are your services on Sunday? Because he had such a great time at the man. But last Sunday is the greatest of all. Because on Father's Day, Adrian gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. First time decision. And I just want to give you the mic for a few moments, if you can just share with us just, you know, how you have felt since coming to Gateway, and what, you know, what was it like? And what did you encounter last Sunday?
Thank you, Jason. Wow, this is a big moment because I don't do public speaking. It used to actually scare me. So I just a little bit about that before I start, Jason. When I was in school, I had a speech to do, like the next day for English, and I was actually up all night worrying about this because I just didn't want to get up there and speak. And as it turns out, the teacher was sick that day, so I didn't have to do that. So the message there is, we worry about things that may never eventuate. So yes, as Jason just said, I messaged Gateway Life. I was actually in the car with my parents going to an appointment, and it just came to me that I said, Mum, I think I might join a church. She said, yeah, that would be good. So I don't live far from here, so I drive past here quite often, and seems like a good, friendly people, which, as I've become to know, it certainly is. So, yeah, I messaged Jason, we got in touch, and like Jason just said, we met up for the standard coffee with Jason, and I met up and I came here. Yeah, gave my life to the Lord last Sunday. What a great day that was, Father's Day. Yeah. Can't be any better day than Father's Day to do that. But yeah, I've been feeling pretty good this week. Like having the wow factor this week. I just get up in the morning and go, wow, how good is this? And every time I'm in church or I pick up the Bible, I start reading the Bible, trying to understand, because I don't come from a Christian family or had a Christian upbringing, so just a general average guy just walking in off the street into the church, like, that's huge, I reckon. That's just massive. So, yeah. But every time I'm in church or pick up the Bible, I always get this warm feeling in my heart. And it happens the moment I walk through them doors until I walk out. Like, it's just amazing. I used to think, why is it always warm in there? And now I actually understand. That's actually probably coming from the Lord. And just saying, hey, brother, I'm with you. So, life's pretty good at the moment, Jason.
That's good.
It's, like you said, you come on to the man, and then, hey, when service on Sunday? I was originally only going to sort of just come to the man, just test the waters, just see what this man thing is about. Like, I heard about this man. And I was only going to come on Wednesday, and maybe every once Sunday once in a while. But hey, I get a leave Sunday, go through my week, and I look forward to Sundays now. As it gets closer to Sunday, so yesterday was Saturday. Yesterday afternoon, I'm watching footy, I'm going, yay, I've got church tomorrow.
Good on you, bro.
Actually, just before I finish, Jason, I haven't told you this,
yes.
I put up a post on Facebook this morning. And I've already got about 20 likes on it. I did that just before I came out here. That's amazing. So the post was that I just put, wow, I am the happiest in my life that I have ever been. happier than happier. And yeah, I just love to be happy, inspire others, encourage others, and just do God's thing.
We love you, man. Thank you so much, Adrian. Let's give him a great big hand of encouragement because we love him. Thank you, sir. Thank you for sharing with us today. Isn't that great? That's what it's all about. And part of our commission is to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. Well, welcome to part two in our Unlimited series. And I really do believe that one of the many things that God wants to do throughout this series, apart from the supernatural, and I do want us to be aware that God is wanting to do the supernatural, not only on a Sunday, but in our lives throughout the week. So we should walk around, our community, our neighborhood. We should walk around expecting God to give us an opportunity to minister to those who do not yet know Jesus Christ. And so apart from the supernatural, I know that what God wants to do is give us a compelling picture of the future, a picture that is bigger than our past. I really felt to say to everyone here today, it's like, yes, you have a past. Is it not true? You have a past. And I know that many of us actually struggle to break free of our past. So yes, you have a past, but can I also please encourage you to remember that you also have a great future. Come on now. Yeah, you've got a past, but you've got a great future. And we got to dwell more on our future than we do on our past. Unfortunately, it's almost like people have this large picture of their past and they have this very small picture of their future. Last week, I've already said we launched our series, and I don't want to go over that too much right now. Just get the podcast. But one of the things that I felt God wanting me to really lay out there and put out there were the three omnis, one being the fact that God is omnipresent, which means he's everywhere at once, locally, regionally, globally, and universally. He's everywhere. David said, if I make my bed in heaven or in hell or in the depths of the sea, there you are. Wherever I go, there you are. And then we looked at the fact that God is omniscient, which means that he's all-knowing, he's all-seeing, he's all-wisdom, and he even knows what we're going to ask him even before we ask him, yet he bids us to still ask him. And then we looked at the fact that God is omnipotent, which means he's all-powerful, he's almighty, he's not some mighty. I think that some Christians actually think that God is maybe, he is the some mighty. Oh, behold, the mostly mighty most of the time. No, he is the almighty. And then we looked at one key. I looked at one key because we're looking at an unlimited God, and I felt that the Holy Spirit wanted me to share with you just some ways that we can limit an unlimited God. We serve an unlimited God. God commands the waves of the sea to rise, then he commands them to fall, and then he commands them to go to the seashore where the water meets the land, and he says to the waters, go thus far, and they obey him. And then he took, as it were, billions upon billions of stars, and he flung them up into the air, and in one moment he commanded each one to stop strategically in its place, and he knows every star by name. And everything that he created obeys him except man. Man is the only one who says no to God. Everything else says yes to him. But man, because he gave us free will, is the only being that he created that says no to him. And so we looked at key number one. That limits an unlimited God, and we limit an unlimited God when we don't see. And point number two today, as we continue our series, we limit an unlimited God when we have poverty of soul. We limit an unlimited God when we have poverty of soul. Now, we have a limited number of days on the earth. Amen? We all have a limited number of days, every single one of us. The countdown is on. Every step, every day that just passes on by, we are one step closer to our true home in eternity with Jesus Christ. It was King David who said, God, teach me, God, to number my days that I might gain, he said, a heart of wisdom. David prayed that prayer because he knew that his days were limited and he didn't want to waste, as it were, or squander, as it were, the gift of a day that God gives us. We've got to understand that this is the day that the Lord has made and we must choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Right now, this is the only day that we'll ever have. This is the only moment we'll ever have. We need to pray and say, God, teach us how to number our days. So our days are limited. I want to tell you what else is limited in our life, and that is our strength. And so our level of strength is also limited. If you don't believe me, then stay up for a week and just see how well you function without rest or without sleep or without good nutrition. You'll find that your energy levels, your strength levels, grow strangely low. And so is it right to say that on one hand, limited number of days, limited level of strength? Yes. However, we as a creation, as a human race, have unlimited resources in heaven. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 reads, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. All needs means all needs. Spiritually, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Everything that we need is at our resource, at our disposal. You know, in our spiritual life, it's also talking about in our emotional life, the soul realm, our financial life, when meeting practical needs. It's also referring to, you know, our physical life, our well-being. God says, I shall supply everything that you need. So whether the need is $10 or $1 million, if that's the God-given, you know, as it were, assignment, then God will also provide the provision for the vision. And when we pray, according to Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, when Jesus taught us how to pray like this, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom, God, come through, as it were, me or us, this gateway, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so, when we pray according to this passage, we're not just praying to get by. We're not just praying to a God whose kingdom has limited resources where we strive to survive. No. We're praying to a God whose kingdom has unlimited resources where we thrive. There's no lack in heaven. What God wants me to share with you today, right now, is that there's no lack. There's no lack in heaven. There's no lack in heaven. I need to keep on saying it so that we get it. There's no lack in heaven, and so there ought to be no lack for the church on earth. Because Christ, why is that? Why is that? Because Christ died for the church and gave himself up for the church because he loves the church. What husband in the natural doesn't want to love on their wife and give their wife what they both desire, want, and need? Why? Because the husband loves the wife, their wife. And Christ is the same. He has already loved on her, but wants to continue to bestow great riches and blessings upon her to the glory of God. Amen? There's no lack in heaven, so there should be no lack on earth. And what this means is that we at Gateway Life Church have the opportunity to truly change the course of history in Albury, Wodonga, Gingera, and the world. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about what God wants to do in and through us. We literally have a God-given moment, an opportunity to truly change the face of our own community. And so, if we can begin to comprehend the difference between having, as it were, either a prosperous soul or poverty of soul, it will change everything. And I want to ask you this morning, do you have a prosperous soul or do you have poverty of soul? In the book of 3 John verse 2, we read, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things." Underline the part of that passage, prosper in all things. It is the will of God that you prosper in all things. It is not a good testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God the Father, and the work of the Holy Spirit if we are not prospering, that we must prosper in all things. For me personally, the greatest form and level of prosperity has everything to do, number one, with our spirit. I've met some of the poorest people in the world. I remember being invited to a lady's home in the nation of Haiti. And this lady had spent half of the day preparing her home, which was literally a rusted, corrugated shack. No bigger, probably twice the size of this drum cage, with a dirt floor. And as we arrived at the front of her home, she stood at the entrance of her doorway and greeted us with the warmest smile, the kindest smile that I will never forget for the rest of my days. In the natural, so poor. In the spiritual, so rich. She had the unlimited riches of Christ in her life. So he says, "I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, in good health, good mental health, good spiritual health, good physical health, holistic health, spirit, mind, body." Remember, the world says body and soul. It focuses what? On number one, the body. The body is important because it's given by God. We've got to take care of this vehicle, as it were, that facilitates and carries the vision and the work of God. But in the kingdom, it's number one, spirit. Spirit, mind, and body. So in other words, external prosperity is the result of internal prosperity because of the transformation of man's heart through Christ, which empowers us to fulfill our vision, which is to be a gateway of God's kingdom on earth, transforming community and culture. That's our vision, to be a gateway. See, some people ask me, which is great, why the name gateway? Well, it's for me, number one, it's prophetic. I believe every single person is called to be a gateway. A gateway is a transition place where one realm meets another realm. Jesus said, pray that his kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. You're that gateway. You're that transition place. God wants to do a great thing in and through this community, but he needs a willing host. He needs a willing gateway, someone who will be open to the things of God and closed to the things of the world, not closed to the things of God and open to the things of the world. You know, it's easy to see those who are prosperous in soul. I would say that Adrian on here today is someone who was prosperous in soul, especially since he's now met his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But it's easy to see who they are because everything about them is aimed towards loving, serving, and giving to others. That's what a prosperous soul does. Everything about them is focused about loving and serving and giving to others. But they who have poverty of soul, everything about them is about them. Everything about them is about them. Those who have a prosperous soul think about what can be gained through giving. But those with poverty of soul think more about what is being lost rather than gained. Those with poverty of soul say, I can't afford to give. Prosperity of soul, we can't afford not to give. Proverbs 11, verses 24 and 25 says, "There is one who gives freely, yet gains even more. Another yet withholds unduly, unfairly, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and they who water shall also be watered themselves." Prosperity of soul people, number one, they come to church to contribute. Poverty of soul people, number one, come to consume. One comes to contribute. Poverty of soul come to consume. To the point where they can hardly greet another in the house. And yet we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26, when you come together, when you come to a life group, to youth, to men's, to women's, to young adults, when you come to Gateway, each of you should have a hymn or a word of encouragement, a revelation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. In other words, everyone should come to bring something to contribute. Freely you have received, freely give. And this brings me today to point number three. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is wanting me to highlight one of the greater limitations of man, one of the greater limitations of loving and serving an unlimited God. And that limitation in our lives can be a demonic spirit called the spirit of fear. A spirit that we are all at times well too familiar with. Number three today, we limit an unlimited God when we walk in fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and of timidity, but of power, but of love and self-control." And I know that a part of my assignment throughout this day, including our 5 p.m. Ginger service tonight, which I'm preaching at, I believe that a part of my assignment today is to create a space for the Spirit of God to move in everyone's life where people are set free from fear, fear of the future, fear of failure, fear of advancement, fear of breaking through. You know, some people actually fear a breakthrough. Some people actually fear not having fear. Some people fear being free. Some people fear winning. Some people fear success. They fear loss, persecution. And of course, there is the fear of man. And so, for the remaining time that I have, I want to share with you very quickly six ways to set you free from the spirit of fear, and then we're going to have a time of worship and we're going to close with prayer. Number one, if you want to get set free from fear, then you need to cling to God's word. What's one of the first things that we look and reach out for when it's dark? It's a light, Ian. That's exactly right. When it's dark, one of the first things we reach out for and look for and feel for is a light. And in those dark moments of life when fear stalks its victims and whispers irrational suggestions through thoughts and lies, it's then we must look and reach out to Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." Once upon a time and at men's, and I know that Gavin, testifies to this. It was just a very, a very timely illustration that I gave. It was here one night at men's, at the men, and I turned off all the lights and I got my phone. And I demonstrated what the Word of God is like. You see, the Word of God lights up where we're at. It lights up our path. What you and I sometimes look for is for the whole path to be lit up. So we get the whole story. So we get the big picture. But, you know, it's kind of like God would say, well, if you had all the facts, you wouldn't need faith. And faith is a step-by-step process. Do you understand? And so his word is a lamp unto my feet. And so that's all we need to focus on right now. It's the now word of the Lord. And I want to encourage you. I want to ask you, when was the last time you actually picked up the Bible and opened it? Because a few verses later, in verse 130, it says, the unfolding of your words gives light. You see, some of you have got a light on your bedside table, on your bookshelf, but it's only when we unfold, as it were, the pages of the Bible that the light begins to give understanding, even to the simple. Are you glad that it says that he gives understanding to the simple? My hand's up too, brother. Don't worry about that. You know, because life gets pretty complicated and I just need things to be simple. When I see that it's simple and it's clear, it helps me to get a hold of it. And so, listen, the key here is the unfolding. It's the opening. It's the turning of the pages, looking, as it were, through the scriptures. It's that that gives us light and gives us understanding. Number two. Change the story in your mind. Change the story that you're telling yourself in your mind. Stop telling yourself, I'm not good enough. Get rid of the I'm not good enough story. Because let me tell you something about that story. There's nothing admirable about it. There's nothing attractive about it. There's nothing that draws us to others when they tell that story. No one ever bought a ticket to hear someone talk about why they're not good enough. No one ever purchased a book entitled, Why I'm Not Good Enough. No one ever bought that book. We've got to change the theme and the story of our life. In fact, it's a testimony to the fact that we're still stuck in the past, if that's our story. And it brings no glory to the finished work of Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross and rose from the dead. So the new story is, I'm more than enough. The old story is, I'm not good enough. The new story is, through Christ, I am more than enough. Number three, stop being so judgmental. Stop previewing a situation before you even get to the situation. Stop prejudging a situation when it comes to what you think someone is going to say or do or not do before you've even had the conversation. You know, and it's this kind of spirit, the spirit of fear that contains people from evangelism. You know, I was one of the most introverted people that you would ever meet. And I am who I am by the grace of God and because of what I've allowed him to do in me. When we allow fear to create our reality, it interferes with our internal alignment and the full realization of what's possible in our future. Number four, be kind to yourself. Number five, be extra kind to yourself. Hey, you're kind to others. Why don't you be kind to yourself? Be extra compassionate. Be gentle. Be gentle and be kind with yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself. Take it easy. Relax. As you progress in your journey from fear to faith, we can't force a rosebud to bloom by hitting it with a hammer. We're in spring, so that little illustration is appropriate. Some things just take time. But the secret to our success is found in our daily agenda. Trust the process and be kind. Number six, perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love. This is the biggie. This is the biggie. This is the big kahuna. I'm not sure what a kahuna is. If it's inappropriate, I apologize. I should be more careful about the things I say before I say them. This is the big one. Perfect love casts out fear. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. And I'll invite the music team to come. God's love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. Listen to this. If we are afraid, if we're fearful, listen. If we are afraid, it is because of the fear of punishment. Another version says it's because of the expectation of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced God's perfect love. You know, the main cause of fear, is an excessive concern about oneself. Self-preservation, our self-image, and what the future holds for oneself. But of course, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. God has called us to love and serve Him by loving and serving people. And when we're more focused and concerned with loving and serving God and others, then the less concerned we are and distracted we are with self. The more focused, if I'm just focused on loving and serving you, if my vision and my heart and my spirit and my expectation, my passion is all about how can I love you and how can I serve you, then there's no room in that for me. And this is exactly what Jesus did for us, and He bids us to do likewise. Blessed are they who show mercy, for they shall have mercy. That's the order, my friends. And this is how we can steward unlimited resources in heaven on earth. Fear tends to paralyze action and contain us and shut us up and down. But in like manner, it's taking action that defeats fear and sets us free. And I want to encourage you, as I invite you to stand right now, to faith it until you break it. 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 And if you want to be set free of fear, we must first set fear free. And the way that we're going to do this today is to create a space. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "The love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." And so before we worship, I'm just going to pray. If you feel that this word applies to you and you need some level of breakthrough when it comes to the spirit of fear, if you find that there are just some circumstances or environments that just cause you to freeze, it's like it causes you to go into a freeze frame. If you know that there are some things that you're afraid of, it could be the past, it could be the future, it's the unknown, it could be people. I don't, the list is very extensive. If that's you, just put up your hand. I'm going to pray for you right now. Just put up your hand. Be strong. Don't be afraid to put up your hand. That's the worst thing you could do. Amen. Father, thank you for a very powerful time right now. I see a church congregation who are about to be released into a greater level of anointing and authority in the name of Jesus Christ. I see, Lord God, a people whose picture for the future is greater than the picture of their past, and that they will be able to walk up to the most unlovable and love them with the love of the Lord. And in Jesus' name, I pray for all of those who have responded today. And I take authority over the demonic spirit of fear that has sought to trick the people of God into shutting up and into shutting down. I pray, Lord God, that everyone would lift up their eyes afresh this day and behold the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as we begin to worship this day, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you would fill every heart with a fresh touch and the love of the Father in Jesus' name. I thank you that in the next few moments you are going to heal and mend broken hearts. I thank you that you are going to set the captives free. I thank you that right now I loose every captive of the spirit of fear. I bind up the works of the devil and I speak to the chains that bind and I command the chains to loose their hold and to fall to the ground. May you hear the chains falling, breaking, breaking and falling to the ground right now in Jesus' name. No longer the same.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Gateway Life Church. We hope you were equipped, encouraged, and empowered. To stay engaged or to learn more about us, please visit gatewaylifechurch.org.au. We hope to see you soon.